You mind if we bow our heads in prayer for just a minute? Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have this evening, for these few minutes that you have given us. We ask that you would just be with us in a special way. Lord, help everything we say and do be pleasing to you. Draw us closer to you, Lord, and we ask again that you would bless this time. Give us strength. Help us to have listening ears and open heart. In your dear name we pray. Amen. Thankful to be here this evening. I had a little thought the Lord inspired me with, and I've written on the board, what can I give? Just that typical time of year we think about giving, or maybe what the Lord gave us. Hopefully that's where our thoughts are. There was a scripture. We might not know the author or the writer of the chapter, Psalms 116. But there's a verse, Psalms 116 and 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" I was thinking about that scripture, and I was thinking about the Lord's benefits. And God being a God of benefits. And I guess for me personally, I don't really, the scripture says it, and I know that he is a God of benefits. But I guess I don't, that's not a common thought that I have, that he's a God that comes with benefits. But I was thinking about that and what that means. A God of benefits. What can I give? What can I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? And I was just going through my mind of how do I benefit from the Lord? Well, there's many answers. My mind first goes to I think of the traveling that I've done across this country and overseas, and thinking about the scenery, the things, the awe-inspiring things that I have seen, the handiwork of God, the mountains and the oceans, and I think about all that our eyes behold and we almost can't take it in. I think about we've talked about it, the solar systems and the planets and how that is all there because of God. And I am blessed by that. I'm a person, I'm an individual that is affected by those types of things. And those things benefit me. I'm able to see God in those awe-inspiring things. And it makes me think about him, and my thoughts go toward him, and how big and how great of a God he is. And to think that I know the God, and I have the opportunity to have a relationship with the God that created all that, that spoke the world into existence from nothing. And then when I look out and see something that almost takes my breath away, that I know the one that created that and that spoke that into existence and knows every little in and out about that thing. And then not only did he just create it, but when you think about the benefits of God, I think about the benefits of God. It gets just deeper than him speaking things in the beginning of time in creation. It just the benefits of God continue, just if you look hard enough, to get deeper and deeper, and I would say endless. If we can dig that deep and we can look that deep into things about him, and I think how he spoke those things into existence, but not only did he do that, he didn't just speak them into existence and then just walk away from them all and then just say, well, here they are. But no, we see things continue to grow, we see things reproduce, we continually see the handiwork, the beauty of God. In His love for creation. But it gets deeper than that. His love for us. And how He created us. And how He knows us. And how He knows you. And then that's where you really start digging deep. And outside of creation, and how He keeps the planets together, and how He keeps the waves lapping at the beach, and all those wonderful things, it gets deeper. And we are a people, and we are individuals that serve a God with benefits, that benefits us. Have you ever heard the term a friend with benefits? You know somebody, and I don't mean to cheapen and try to bring God down to an earthly friend. But as an example, I think about a friend with benefits. Have you ever been in a situation where you really needed some advice? And you really needed some help with something. Maybe it's a vehicle, or maybe it's something with your house, and you've scratched your head, you've done all you can do, and then all of a sudden it occurs to you, I know somebody. I know somebody who might know something about this. I have a friend in my circle of friends that I could ask this, I could present this question to. And more than likely, they're going to have an answer. A friend with benefits. And then at that time, you're thankful that you're in their circle of friends. A friend with benefits. I thought of, and this might be a little comical example, but I thought just a week ago, a nice group from here went Christmas caroling. And we all went out as a big group and we did some Christmas caroling. And towards the end of the evening, some of us, a smaller group, split off and went to the nursing home, a nursing home there in Hammond, to sing to an individual. And when we made that decision to go that late in the evening, I kind of wondered about that. I thought, well, man, it's getting kind of late, and their website and all that shows that the doors are going to be locked, and I had my doubts that we would get in and that it would be a successful endeavor. We get there to this nursing home, and a group of us, I don't know, whether maybe 10, 12 of us, we walk up, and the first ones to the door try the door, and sure enough, it was locked. And I thought, I figured this was going to happen, and what do we do now? Out of nowhere, Brother Rod comes up with all the confidence, and he walks up to this locked door, and they had a little keypad there, and he goes to punching buttons. And the doors unlock, and we walk in. And a little alarm goes off. And I thought, wow. Man, brother, man, I know somebody. They just got me in this after hours, no visitors, locked doors nursing home. And the alarm's going off, and we're walking down the hallway, and we're walking down, and I see the check-in station with one of the little nurses sitting behind it, And I'm thinking, man, this alarm's going off. I hope they don't ask me any questions. But if they do, I know somebody. He's the one that got me in here. And I thought, well, as we walk down this hall, we walk past this nurse's station, I'm just going to stay behind him. And he took off, and I'm trying to keep up because I didn't want a large distance to get between us, because I wanted to stay with this person that I knew. I wanted to stay with this friend. I was calling my friend. I wanted to stay with this person that had just helped me accomplish this thing that needed to be accomplished. We go and we do our singing, and I was feeling kind of good about myself that I knew somebody that had this capability to come and let us in this locked nursing home. Well, this almost the same thing happened on the way back out. And I was one of the first ones up to the door coming back out, and guess what? The door was locked when we tried to go out. I didn't fret. I didn't worry about it. I was thinking, I know Brother Rod. He's right here in the back. And sure enough, here he comes up. Boy, he goes to punching buttons again, and the door's unlocked, and we go out. Alarm's going off. But I knew somebody. And we have that same opportunity to know somebody. If we come to a place in life, a hard place, and the door's locked and we're scratching our head and we don't know what to do, I know somebody. A God with benefits. I don't think we can, I hope and pray that from time to time that we stop and we think about. We mention it quite often here, and it is mentioned here in services quite a bit, of what God does for us and what He is to us. But I hope in our day-to-day lives, when I go through life, that I can stop and say, I know somebody. I know somebody who is there to help me no matter what I'm going to face through this day. I hope when I walk up to somebody, a friend or a coworker or a family member, and I see they're having a rough time and I ask about it, and they pour out their case before me, that I can look them in the eye and say, I know somebody. I know somebody that can help you. I know somebody that if you will get to know them, you can benefit from what they have to offer you. A God with benefits. So not only this world that He created, He sustains the things of this world. He keeps the things of this world. But thank the Lord, He can keep us. That He can keep us. Psalm 103. I don't think it is Psalm 103. David asked a question. Maybe it is Psalms 103. I may have got my notes wrong. That's the wrong reference. There was a verse in Psalms where David said, I am missing that. I'm sorry. David had asked a question about the Lord's benefits. I don't think it was Psalm 16. Well, that's not it. Well, Lord help us. But to know, just trying to get back on track, to know that I am serving a God. There was one of the scriptures that David had said that God was a merciful God. God was gracious. He satisfies and He supplies every one of our needs. And I was thinking as I read that scripture that if David came before the Lord and recognized that the Lord was that to him, it may have been. It may have been, Sister Patrice. But if He was that to David, if the Lord was, we know we serve a God that is the same today, He was the same as yesterday, tomorrow, and if He was that to David, thank the Lord that He can be that to us today, and that I can take comfort. Again, thinking back to what God is to us and how God knows me. Is there a scripture that says God knew us in the womb before we were born? Thankful that I serve a God that knows me, knows everything about me. The scripture says He knows the hairs on my head. And thank the Lord that I have an opportunity to serve a God like that. To serve a God that created this world, but wanted something more. wanted someone to have a relationship with, wanted to have someone to talk with, to commune with, created man in the beginning, knew us, created us, wanted a relationship with us. And wants us to have a relationship with him. And I was thinking, especially this time of year, what had to take place for that to happen. And, you know, we know that, Jesus came to this earth and Jesus was with God. And I've often thought about that conversation, if there was a conversation that took place, of God looking down on his people and God looking down on us, or God knowing us and knowing who we were going to be, and looking down upon love, looking down in love upon his people and thinking, you know what? I love what I created. I don't love what they're doing. I want a relationship with these people. I want to be able to be with them. I want them to be with me. And thinking about what had to take place. Jesus said in his own words that he came down from heaven to do the will of his Father, to do the will of God. And I thought, who would be willing? Who would want to give up heaven to come down to a sin-filled world? Who would, for lack of a better term, and no disrespect, but who in their right mind would want to leave God, the presence of God, all that heaven was, all that heaven had to offer, to come down here? To have to live and be a part of, to have to live among sin. He that was so pure and so holy, to be willing to come here. And I thought, how? How is that possible? It's because of love. Because he knew me. And he knew you. And he knew every individual up on the face of this earth. He knew the people that were gonna look at him and laugh at him. He knew those ones that were gonna spit on him. He knew the ones that were gonna not believe. He knew the ones that were gonna believe. He knew the ones that were gonna be sincere. He knew the ones that were going to just look at his face and laugh and poke and make fun. But he came for us, for humanity. And he came and he lived among sin. Again, thinking of a God with benefits. And what he was willing to do. And I think, you know, what he has to offer, the plan that God created, the plan that came to be, the benefits of God, the benefits of living this way, living for the Lord, the benefits of living a life, knowing God, and digging into the depths of who he is and this opportunity that we have and all that he is and all that he is to us. I believe that's what the writer in Psalms was talking about. What can I give to God for all of the benefits? Well, at that time, Jesus hadn't come, but God was just as real to them then as he is to us today. And how I benefit in my everyday life from what he did for me and what he was willing to do. I know we think about maybe that particular thought, maybe more so this time of year than normal, but Lord, help us to understand throughout all of our lives, not just a certain type of year, the benefits of God and the real benefit of how we really benefit from what he did for us. So, he came, he died, and he went, providing us with, without a doubt, the greatest gift ever given. A way out of eternal damnation, and a gift of eternal salvation. And so, which is the reason why I've written this question on the board. What can I give? If God so freely gave his son, what's the verse? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son. Jesus gave his life. What possibly can I give him? You know, man has constantly tried to give the Lord things. Man has constantly tried to give the Lord money, tried to give the Lord time, lip service, good works. And truth be told, God needs nothing from me. If God is an all-powerful, all-knowing God, truth be told, he needs nothing from me. I could not exist, and God would still go on being God. There was a scripture in Psalms that I believe it said something about that he wasn't going to take the bulls and the goats. He didn't need them. If God was hungry, he wouldn't tell you. He owns the fat cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need anything that we have to offer. As much as man has tried to give God, God doesn't need it. But to that, there is something that he desires. There is something he desires, and I think of the verse, Mark 12:30. We use this verse often, we feel like. Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. For this is the first commandment. I think about my heart. And I've actually said before that I don't think I will ever comprehend or really just understand the true depths of this verse. So all I can do is try and give it my best effort to give the Lord, to love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But when I think about my heart, and I think about what my heart is, and I think about me as a person and my desires and my wishes and my thoughts, my conversations, they all come from something. They all come from, I don't want to get in over my head here, but scientifically speaking, but they all come from a thought, but they all come from something within me. They all come from a desire. If I were to go do something or say something, it comes because my brain thought that would be enjoyable to do, that would be a pleasure to go do. So is it safe to say that my heart is who I am? My heart is my makeup. It's everything about me stems from the desires of my heart. And when I read this verse, and again, I'm thinking, what can I give the Lord? And he says that the first commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Lord, help me to know what that means. To love you with all of my heart, with all of my thoughts, with all of my actions, with all of my conversations. You mean with all the things that I want to do in this life? With all the things that I partake of? With all the things that have an appeal to me? In doing works. And just in my everyday life. Am I doing it for the right reason? I think how often people try to do things, but for the wrong reasons. Maybe to check mark on a checklist, or maybe it's to achieve a status or a title, or let me see how big of a donation I can make, or how many donations I can make this year or this time of year. How big can I give? What kind of show can I make? And I thought, you know, all those things, they have their place and time. Yes, the Lord wants us to do some of these things and to give and to do some good works. But Lord, help me to look at my heart and to make sure that these things are being done for the right reason. Jesus wants a heart that loves. A heart that loves Him. A heart that loves others. A heart that is humble, and a heart that is willing to learn. A heart that says, Lord, I'm coming to you as humbly as I know how to do. Will you teach? Will you instruct? Will you lead? Will you guide? You know, my wife could probably agree with me on this. I have a bad habit of asking a question and then her giving me the answer and then me cutting her off because I don't like the answer that she gave. Lord, help us to be able to come humbly before the Lord. And then when He gives an answer, that we are willing to listen, that we are willing to learn, that we are willing to be teachable, that we have a heart that desires to learn more about Him. Lord wants a heart that is unselfish, that puts others' needs in front of our own. The Lord wants a heart that is willing to sacrifice, the heart that is willing to give, as we mentioned, but not give to be seen and to that I can make this check out for a certain amount, or that I can give this much time, I can give this many hours. That no, that we come humbly before the Lord and we give because this is what the Lord wants us to do, and this is what He is requiring of us. And a heart that is willing to give up everything, as He was willing to give up everything for us. And I think this might be one of the hardest, that might be one of the hardest ones. A heart that is, you know, that's one of those things that it's easy to say. It's a lot easier to say than it is to do. Lord, help me to be willing to give up as You gave up. Help me to be willing to be able to come to the place that I'm willing to give up whatever it is, Lord, to be able to draw closer to You, to know You, to understand You. Lord, help us that we not begin to put these other things that we mentioned ahead of what the Lord wants. It's so easy to, again, it's so easy to, and I'm not saying here amongst us, but it's so easy to see people to want to be something, to try to be something, to want to have influence, to want to have money, to want to have fame. And I compare that to what the Lord really wants from us. That's just a humble little servant that loves Him, that wants to live for Him, that wants to get to know Him, and that wants to give Him everything they have. Psalm 116, what shall I render unto the Lord? Well, the author answered that. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Verse 13 says, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take what He gave to me, that cup of salvation, that plan of salvation. I will take that. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will recognize who He is. I will recognize what, I will call upon the name of the Lord knowing who He is and what He is. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. I will commit. One of the commentators says, more than likely this was an individual. Bringing himself into the tabernacle, a sacrifice. Lord, I will pay my vows. I will sacrifice myself. I will give myself to You. What can I give the Lord? Really don't have any other words to say or how to say it of what He gave us and what He did for us. And of course, the truth is there's nothing we will ever be able to give that compares. But Lord, help us to recognize what He did for us. Lord, help us to understand it. Lord, help us to know it. What it means to me as an individual, as a child of God, and in return, what can I give Him in return? I can give Him my dedication. I can be sincere in the way that I live. I can be careful how I live. I can be careful and be mindful of the things that my heart longs for. You know, as we go through life, our taste for things and our desires for things can change if we're not careful. If we give the enemy just a little bit of room, our desires for things can change. That is a proven fact. Lord, help us to guard our hearts. Lord, help us to be careful. If we know that what we are made up of is our hearts and everything about us stems from our heart, Lord, help us to be careful what our heart's involved in. Lord, help us to keep our focus, our priorities. Let the desires of my heart, is that how it goes? Let the desires of my heart, and something about the meditate, let the meditation, the desire, let the words of my mouth and meditation, I'm getting confused, be acceptable. Help what, Lord, just help me. We live in a world that we could be so easily distracted. Things can take our attention from where they need to be. It's so easy to see things that we shouldn't. Lord, help us to be careful. Lord, help us to have a mind to serve the Lord, a mind to draw closer to Him. Lord, help us to think of that often. Lord, help us to think of what He did for us and what He gave us. And Lord, help us to constantly be looking and striving to give Him something back, to give Him my life, my dedication, and all that He desires. I appreciate y'all's prayers.